can never do it like I. When you see man pull up and slide, man step to the room with legends, Rio and Steve, you know it's a vibe. Check the podcast, what you wanna know? Don't ask me, go and ask Joe. If you're talking Premier League, he's on the front line and I gotta go. Oh. It's a vibe with five, and you already know what it is. It's a vibe with five, and you already know what it is. Vibe with five, and you already know what it is. It's a vibe with five, and you already know this.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this week's episode of Vibe with Five. The energies are high for both of us this time, right?
Yeah. It's good. I'm happy. Man United, best team on the pitch. Mm-hmm. Best players on the pitch, mm-hmm. getting results. That's mm-hmm. it's not rocket science, is it?
And like I said to you, Buck and Anton last time.
Oh my God.
It's back on, baby.
Do you know what? I didn't even read that today.
Yeah, bro.
Is that what you come? Oh my God.
Yeah, bro. It's back on. 6-0.
Do you know what I heard when I walked into the studio today? I heard Archie's over there. He's an Arsenal fan as well. These two chatting. I heard, oh yeah, is our last game against Sansa. We could win it there. Could we?
Yeah,
win it there?
At United.
You lot.
We're playing you guys on May the 11th. It's back on. All right, listen, before we go on to this week's games.
Joel,
go on, mate.
Have some shame.
What shame?
Yeah, it's true.
Mate,
true.
You are third in a two-horse race and you're talking like you're going to pick it up.
You've done well. You beat West Ham.
Is this the guy
well done.
Been on the show for the last 3 weeks with a black eye and he's telling me there's some shame. Come on.
It's
him.
Steve.
tell me. On top of that, right, you guys have done an incredible interview. So what we did on the five socials, we said, who do you want to speak to? Who do you want us to speak to next? Mm. So you've gotten David Gill last time. Went very well, by the way. We're going to explain the cut-ups of the episodes and stuff like that. We'll get to that in a second. Mm. But we said, which Manchester United manager, post-Fergie time, would you want us to speak to? And I'll tell you what, the votes were unanimous, really.
Yeah, right? Jose
Mourinho. And what does that mean, Rio?
Well, we went out to see Jose. That's mm-hmm, it. Mm-hmm. You told us what to do. We done it. There was a request in there. He was the request. Mm. We went out and we executed. Yeah. Me and Steve travelled out there. Mm. Joel was kind of otherwise engaged. He had something pre-planned.
I got a chop suey.
Yeah, because of his Arsenal coming, he got put on the bench.
Man. But yeah, you interviewed Jose Mourinho.
It was hilarious. Seriously.
You spoke about everything, didn't it?
Hilarious. Talked about Man United, how much his thoughts on Man United and post him leaving and what the new Man United looks like. Talked about England, funny enough, that when you hear what he says about England, right, like my generation and this generation, Portugal, his time at Chelsea, crazy. Mm-hmm. Talking about individual players, like, mate, seriously, it was really good.
Stories
the killer world, the stories are unreal. We was only meant to have like half an hour of him. We travelled to Lisbon, me and Steve, for half an hour, and he was there an hour and a half. It was unreal.
No way.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And he was... the funniest thing was, right, I swear to you, it's going to be a meme, right? I don't know. I never spoke. I just see Steve. I know Steve and I don't really look at him, but the way that he tapped Steve's belly at the end, it was unbelievable.
What did Steve say? Steve, what did you say?
No, he was on mute.
No, what can I say, right?
He was on mute.
I'll give you this, right? Jose Mourinho is an absolutely captivating listen. Like, John, you ask the guy a question and he just comes with, like, sources, analogies, just... fully formed, like, mega answers to everything that you're asking him. You don't feel like you can hammer him. And he also sort of set his stall out early doors with a few things that he said. I'm not going to give too much away, but I guarantee the news for the next week is at least everything that Jose said in that interview.
Okay, so when is this coming out, guys?
You tell me.
Thursday. It's coming out on Thursday. But look, I know you guys were like, why did you chop up the David Gill interview? Mr. David Gill, by the way, I'll keep it real, guys, right? The engagement. We've got to keep it up, you know? Mm. And on top of that, it allows us to be recommended more on YouTube and people watch it more. Regardless of what you say, it's done really well for us on the channel.
Yeah, and the full interview's on the audio as well.
We will always drop the full interview after we drop the part. So please support us on this. It's YouTube, man. We're trying different things in the community. I know you guys were like, please don't, but we will. So keep on supporting us. Jose coming out on Thursday.
We've got another
big one. I'll say, I think we could have done it better with David Gill. I think we could have introduced each section better, but we did that with the Mourinho one. Yeah. So the Mourinho one should flow a hell of a lot better.
And you know, we're all a community here. We're trying things, you know. So just keep on supporting us. And like I said, it's coming out soon. But let's...
By the way, in the comments, who do you want next?
Ooh.
Who do you want next?
Ooh.
We've got a couple of people in the pipeline, but if there's anyone else that jumps off the page.
Could we not have an Arsenal player for once, please?
Do you want an Arsenal player? What, past or present?
No one cares, Joel. David Giltoy.
David Giltoy.
Yeah, man. Oh, come on, man.
A present player.
Yeah,
present
if we day can. Player. We don't. We could talk about it off.
We had Zinchenko a little while ago.
We had Zinchenko, but we need to get someone else, man.
Okay, let's, let's more work attacking, on. Attacking type player.
Yeah, man.
Okay, let's go for somebody. Okay, cool.
You know, Rio's black book, man. Let's move it on to Manchester United. I want to know why Manchester United got more press for scraping a win that they probably didn't deserve against Aston Villa than we did for smacking up West Ham.
Because we beat a team that are trying to be a Champions League team now. Aston Villa, out of form a little bit, but they're a team with a new Unai. Everyone's saying did their Champions League hopefuls now, so it's a bigger game probably. But it's Manchester United as well. You've got to be a bit more respectful and understand your status. Man United are a worldwide renowned club, adored, revered all around the world. So they're going to get more news articles than any other team in this country, regardless of where they are in the league. Imagine when Man United are winning, what does it look like in the media? No one's going to get any airtime.
Yeah, I think because you've been bad for so long that I think there's a bit of excitement now. Obviously, some of it's deserved. Rasmus Højlund. Is it five goals? And is it five last matches he scored consistently?
He's flying. He's not snatching anymore, is he? Steve, you've watched him closely as well. Like the balls are coming into him now, and there's a little bit more of a calm assuredness, whereas obviously he was uptight. Understandably, a young kid, 20 years old.
He's still not getting enough shots, though.
No.
He's still not being serviced as much as he could be. I think he scored one yesterday off two shots, you know, which is mad numbers, really.
But they're starting to cross the ball, though, Steve. Like even the second goal, McTominay's goal, that's the type of cross that Højlund wants to be running onto as well. Like Dallo needs a special mention, by the way, because he's someone I doubted earlier. And I remember speaking to Cristiano again. Is he really going to be any good? And Cristiano said, no, Rio, he works. He'll work hard. He'll make himself better, 100%. He'll improve. And he's obviously seeing it behind the scenes, so he knows that. And I said to Darren Fletcher, I was at the training ground the other day, I said, he's really impressed me. And he was saying, listen, he's a worker. He's going to make himself the player he needs to be. I still think defensively, he probably needs to work a little bit. But yesterday, defensively, I thought he was very good. And then with the ball, that cross, if we have players running onto them crosses, then the forwards are going to make runs and they'll get more goals.
Yeah, no, to be fair, I think it's good as well. It's only healthy, isn't it? Because when you've got, it means Wan-Bissaka is going to have to work harder. Mm. And I think, yeah, obviously you're going to need Wan-Bissaka as well, especially with the injuries on the left-hand side and stuff like that. So, but I can't lie, Dalot, he's definitely shown improvement. That's why he's got the 5-year contract.
Yeah. Can I just give special mention as well to the two centre-halves? They've been criticised in their time. I thought Maguire and Varane were standout as well. Although they did it, there was a lot of chances given up, but I think that was because of the shape of the team, the transitions. It wasn't necessarily down to because the centre-halves weren't marking or whatever, but a lot they stopped a lot of stuff going on in that middle area, defended the box really well, and the goalkeeper made a couple of big saves. But Harry Maguire, I think he's shown that he has got a character.
Yeah, definitely, man. Really good season. I think you guys can't forget Mac 10, Scott McTominay. Honestly, man, he scored 3 goals in the last 5 minutes of Premier League games this season.
Mm. Wait. I want to go back to Maguire here a second because, you know, I've hammered Maguire in the past and he won everything. I think the game suited him yesterday.
Yeah.
And there's more than just that. I actually think this is the first time under Ten Hag that we've gone away to somewhere where we weren't expected to steamroller or even just win. And we've managed to pull a win out by playing off the back foot. I don't think we've done that under Ten Hag. And I don't think it can be understated how important it was for us to go and get that sort of scrappy play off the back foot sort of win. And it is the sort of style of play that suits Maguire. We asked him and Varane to defend the box yesterday, and they defended the box. They won everything in the air. Absolutely everything, the pair of them.
Yeah, no, you hadn't won.
Agree.
You hadn't won against a top 8 side since like 2021. Like I heard the stat.
Our record is horrendous against the top 8 sides. It's disgusting. Actually, that needs to be put up all around the training ground.
I was going to say, how do you get away with that?
Yeah, that needs to be put up all around the training ground so they all see it every other day. And it's
But do you know what? This is only a stat when it comes to United. Because I'm a bad nerd like this. I went and did the stats and we only won one less game against the top 10 than City did. And they were champions.
Hmm. I need to look at the stats properly because either someone's
you lot
were
really good. You lot in Newcastle, I think, had really, really good records against everybody else.
Away?
Away.
But like, it proves it's a nonsense stat. If City are the champions and they only won one more than United away against like the top whatever, it's a bollocks.
When we used to win the league, though, it was about you have to bully the teams outside the top 3 or 4. Hmm. The team that's consistent and wins against them, that's where we were great. We would go to Blackburn, which was hard to play. We'd go Stoke. Very rarely ever get turned over. We'd go Bolton and turn them over. Arsenal would struggle with them clubs. Do you know what I mean? Chelsea sometimes would have a bogey to like Newcastle maybe, as Jose mentioned in his interview, or Everton away. Like tough games to get there. Like we'd normally go away to all them places and the teams we were meant to beat would normally beat them. And then you could afford to draw or drop some points against the teams who are fighting for the league because you know somewhere else they'll hiccup. And I think that's where Man City and Liverpool in recent years have been. They've been brutally dominant. They just battered all every team out of sight, outside of each other, and they might drop points against each other here and there.
Before I go on to Scott McTominay, I actually wanted to give a massive shout out to Onana, man. Yeah. What I saw yesterday, a few solid saves. No. Steve, I know that's your guy. Go on. It's your floor, man.
Yeah, he had some big saves. Gary Neville pissed me off yesterday in commentary for a few reasons. First up, they had to go all the way back to the foul on Marcus Rashford try and find something wrong with United's goal. And then, Casemiro's in an offside position as the ball comes in from the free kick, but he don't touch it, so it's not offside. So it's not relevant, Gary, right? Then we get the corner, and then, it looked offside with the naked eye, but as soon as you see the replay, you realise that he's clearly onside. Why are we trying to find fault with United goals? Any other team that scores a goal, you go, well done, good goal. So fair play. You know, United have been so bad at set plays, and yesterday we scored from one, and we defended really well against them. Why are we going back doing that? And the whole point I mentioned Gary Neville, Onana makes a save from about 2 yards away. It hits him in the chest, but so what? That's the keeper's job, is to be in the way. Why are you saying, he's got lucky to be there?
No, but it was good positioning, though, because, first of all, you look and you go, maybe he got...
No, he's saying that. It's what he's saying.
Yeah, so you got really good positioning.
It is mad. I don't know. The only thing I would concern me about the result yesterday, it wasn't like an 8, 9 out of 10 performance. It was just good resilience, and they managed to get it done, which is they've struggled to do that. But United need to work on game management, because you can't have that basketball vibes going on where you're up and down, you attack, we attack stuff, and you need to have some control. They've got enough experience in there, enough quality in there to start seeing the games out and having that control and not having it being a panic attack in the last 10 every single time you play. Because you're going to get caught.
Kobbie Mainoo, think he's turning into a number 8?
He could do. I think he's good enough to play 6 or 8 or 10. He could play all those positions. You saw his footwork for the second goal. He could play there. If you watch the way that they play, when they're developing phases of play, their rotations in midfield, he sometimes stands in a number 10 position, but then he easily shifts back into an 8 and then sometimes drops into a 6. But that is the freedom that he has within this system, because the second goal, he's almost like a number 10 in that position, in the up, picking up the position in a random position, but he's got that fleet of foot and that bit of skills. We could just call it dubs. He can just dub a man like, boom, see you later. Shifted it off. Dalot, first time cross, goal. But
I think he's a good 6, but I think he could proper thrive as an 8. Like, since that Wolves game, just flashes. I thought, whoa, scary stuff. So for me, even yesterday, like you said, like footwork, playing it off to Dalot, great crossing from Dalot. I just thought, I think this guy can do some stuff. And people took it out of context when you said he reminds you of Seedorf. You said reminds, not is.
Well, that footwork saw there for the goal the other day, that's Seedorf.
Madness.
That's what Seedorf does.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not imagining this. I'm seeing, he's showing me glimpses. In the last 2 games, I've seen shades of someone like Seedorf. Yeah. He ain't him. He ain't his ability. He ain't done anything near what he's done. He'll be lucky to get any closer to that, to be fair. But the kid he's got something that you go, right, the calmness is the thing that jumps out to me. Yeah. I see him at the training ground the other day and I said to him, man, listen, just keep that hunger. The hunger that you walked into this season with, that's the hunger you need through the whole of your career. It don't need to come off. It don't need to step off that. That hunger, you maintain the same hunger. You walk in the door to that first team dressing room in the first time. If you can finish football somewhere near about that, with that same hunger and mindset of wanting and wanting and wanting, you got a chance to have a top career.
Was he responsive?
The kid's got, there's a steeliness to him, man. He don't look like a hype man. He don't look like someone who's going to get like too high or too low. Looks like he's got quite a balanced, I think he looks like he's got, I don't know he's surrounded. He's got a balanced team around him.
Avelino said he knows his brother and he like knows members and that. And he said that he's just a good kid.
Yeah,
he gives you the
like.
Vibe
yeah.
of a good Ghanaian kid. Do you know what I mean? Like someone that's just well brought up.
Yeah, and if he steps out of line, it could be a couple of hot slaps.
you know what I mean? Like, and you need that, especially in today's generation and stuff like that. So, no, I wish him the best, man. I'm glad to hear he was responsive as well, man.
No, it's not. Short and sharp.
What was you doing in Manchester? Who was you with?
I went to, I was actually, what was I doing? I interviewed Kevin De Bruyne.
Ooh, and then coming out soon, yeah?
Yeah, and then I had like a...
Big tings.
I had the whole day and night free. So I texted a couple of the lads. We got the WhatsApp group. So they was about for a bit of food later. And then Fletch said, let's come down to training ground, link up. So I went down there, had a bit of lunch.
With who?
With Darren Fletcher. Then see. Do you know what actually was a nice thing? Rasmus Højlund. He was one of the only players still about. He was in the canteen just with the staff messing about, asking questions. Robin van Persie was there doing his A license or pro license.
Really?
Yeah, had a little chat with him. He bantered him about his gear. And Rasmus was there, and Rasmus come over to me and Fletch sitting having a little chat about things and just about how he's doing and stuff. Really, really nice guy. But what I loved is he saw Robin van Persie and said to Darren, can I get 5 minutes of him with Robin van Persie? And Robin said, yeah, come man. Went in there, went away 10, 15 minutes, come back. And Robin said, yeah, man, he's asked a lot of questions. That's a sign of someone who wants to learn. You know what I mean?
A student of the game.
Student, do you know what I mean? So it was just nice, that humility and that humbleness that he showed. It bodes well, I think, for the future of this kid.
Just talk about the L that Arsenal have took again here.
Stop
Robin Persie was a player with them for like, what, 8, 9 years? Something like that? He was at United for 2 or 3.
Yeah,
where's he going to do his licences? Carrington.
Yeah.
And do you know
he's welcome at Man United. He's not welcomed at Arsenal. That's not true.
We would have him. I think he just likes to go to United, if I'm honest with you.
He's got good memories.
He likes to be around winners and that. Yeah,
he wins. The mentality's there.
You're telling me he didn't have no good memories at Arsenal? Of course he had good memories at Arsenal.
But he doesn't go back there. Why doesn't he go back? You tell me what that means.
It's the Man United branding, isn't it?
Brandon,
yeah,
no, mate, it's a lovely. You know what it is, because when he goes back there, he sees familiar faces. Like Fletch is there. I was there coincidentally. You got Kaff on the door.
Oh yeah, Kaff,
man,
Kaff, the dinner lady.
She's not dinner lady. Carol's the dinner lady who don't work there no more. Shout out Carol. Apologies. She don't work there no more. I still chat to her. She was like, how come you're taking pictures with Kaff and not me and posting me up? You're posting Kaff up. But listen, there's in-house wars.
Wow.
But Kaff is the lady on reception. So whenever you go to the training ground,
right,
Kaff is there. Okay. She's 80 odd now. I think she's been there 50 odd years.
Really?
It's unreal. She's outlasted every Martin Edwards, David Gibbs, Mr. Gill, Alex Ferguson, all the players outlasted us all.
Steve, was she the one that got an award a couple of seasons ago at the what was it again? You forgot, right?
Player Award.
Yeah. She got some sort of award. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
She deserves it. But she could tell the stories. If someone wanted stories, she's the one. And she's the last person that would ever tell anyone.
Wow. That's awesome. So, when is Robin van Persie coming on, though? Sorry.
End of the season. So he said end
Did
of the...
Did he say?
Yeah, he's obviously coaching and stuff now. He wants to concentrate on what he's doing at the end of the season in the summer. Robin Versi will be here with us on Five Guys.
That's going to be like really... That's going to be like
for you,
a Jack and
be,
Hyde.
Yeah, it's not going to be good for you, is it?
Did you know what it is? I proper loved Robin van Persie.
Loved or love? See, that, even that you're saying, I want to clip this up and show him so the energy's right when he comes in. Because he's got a hard, steely side to him, Robin, you know. And if he feels any tension, he'll give it back to you.
I don't mind. Because I remember speaking to Jermaine. You know my boy Jermaine, who does the stuff with Storms. When we were selling him to you, right, he was going, don't want him. He's always injured. And I said the exact same thing that Arsene Wenger said. I said, you don't know who you're getting. This guy is a top, top striker. Mm. Goes to United and obviously the rest is history. And it hurts, man. It hurts. Yeah. But I would love to speak to him anyway, man.
All right.
Just to see how it's all going. Oh, Scott McTominay.
Yeah.
We need to talk about him, man.
Yeah, I think he's got the 4 goals as a sub, the most this season in the Premier League.
Honestly, man.
Scott, I think you got a shout. I think he's shown great personality and good traits to have around your team.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of people can get put on the bench. Everyone, you have to understand as well, everyone in a Premier League team wants and expects to start games all the time. I don't think there'd be many in them dressing rooms who go, do you know what, I'm a sub.
Yeah.
They've all got egos and they all want to play and they all want to be the main man, which is fine.
I don't know, man. Right? I think players like Martial are a bit like, meh.
Yeah, but
you got to think, though. You got to reckon every single Premier League footballer wasn't just the best player in their youth team when they were growing up. They were the best player in like the district when they were
growing up. The county.
And they were the best player in their academy team when most they were coming up. Every single one of them. You don't get to the Premier League by just being middle of the road.
And that's the thing. Then he's got to change his mindset. Then you've got to alter in that mindset from being how does the best in your teams always to being like, listen, you're going to have to be a bit part player here and there. I think he's got a big decision to make, especially this summer. Because I think if things have panned out differently, he probably would have been one of the players that may have been sold if the price was right or whatever, or the right interest came along. I think West Ham would have took him after they sold Declan Rice in a heartbeat. But it didn't materialise. I just think he has a decision to make. I think he's got so many really good attributes that you'd want to keep around. He's a good kid, wants to learn, knows the fabric of the club, understands what it means to be a Man United player. Those things go a long way, and he can play football.
He's clutch as well, mate.
And he can play football, and he can play a couple of different positions. I wouldn't say like a holding midfielder for the whole of the season, but he can fill in there. And he can show you he can score goals and he can impact a game and change a game.
Massively.
But I think his decision is, do I want it to be the player that can be impactful at times? I'm going to get a run of games because of injuries and stuff like that, or the manager sees me for a few games, but I'm not going to be, if the best team's available, I may not start them games, yeah? But I'm going to be a player that can come in and really, really be worthwhile and have worth in this team and value. In other ways, he has to make that decision, I think, because there's some players who have careers like that.
But then you have players who have decided to leave and they've gone on and they've done better things. So, for example, Tom Cleverley, you know, he goes off, he has a really good footballing career, you know, that he's playing every week.
That's a really personal thing. Does he want to go somewhere else, a lesser club, less attention, less chance of ever competing and winning things? And playing there and being the main guy there, or being a part of a team that's hopefully going to build to win something.
Again, that's
right?
Hopefully.
But we are talking Tom Cleverley's different. You know, Tom Cleverley's situation was different. He was staying somewhere that he was going to win stuff or go into what we just mentioned. Whereas it's different.
What did we just mention about United?
What?
You just said like it was different. He was going to stay where he's winning stuff. What about United now?
No, but he's got a chance to hopefully start winning. They're building towards that, hopefully. So it's just like Arsenal, by the way.
Excuse me, Joel. You're talking to the League Cup champions of the world?
Yeah,
traditional exactly. Rio. Traditional media Rio. I'm going to get a T-shirt that says traditional media.
But you know what, though? That's the decision he's got to make. Like, and I think it'd be interesting to see in the summer what this is. Does he sign a new deal for whatever year deal? And say, listen, whatever my role is, I need to stay here because I love the club and I want to be a part of bringing it back to its former glory. Or I want to be somewhere where I am the main guy and I'm playing every week.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Yeah.
That's the decision.
But anyway, where do we start? Arsenal hammering the hammers. I was able to go to the London Stadium with Anton Ferdinand. Listen,
I ain't seen Anton in the group since that game.
He wasn't saying anything.
That was a quiet car ride, all wasn't it?
Very, very quiet. On top of that, yeah, he did really good for me. He had me at STK's, a good brunch.
Is it?
Yeah,
living
bro.
Life, yeah?
Living life, man. Like box seats.
I don't want to have to start patting your belly as well.
Nah, I'm good, man. I'm good. I did 6-0 against West Ham. I would have said, you're lying, mate.
Yeah.
I was worried.
For who?
For Arsenal in the beginning.
A lot of injuries, West Ham, though, man.
Yeah, but I thought typical Arsenal, you beat Liverpool, and then the next week you go and you fumble it against West Ham, but it was the complete opposite.
Do you reckon Declan Rice was in that change room going on a mad one before the game because he knew what was riding on it?
100%, man.
Like, getting booed. He knew he was going to get booed at times, maybe, and he thought, like, boys, you got to be with me on this one.
100%, man. He hasn't had great results against West Ham this season. And you would know, innit? Every time you went back to Leeds,
not a nice
every
feeling.
Time you went back to West Ham, did you have the extra fire?
No, it was more extra nerves. Probably most nervous games was going back to your old team. Everyone knows you. I say hello to everybody. It's lovely, lovely, warm. And then all of a sudden you go out on the pitch. Like, I went to Leeds, obviously, as rivals, where I was getting like police security on the way into the stadium. Like, I was thinking someone might run on the pitch. Like, it was mad. So it's a bit different for Declan. But when I used to go out to West Ham, even then, it's like, I love West Ham. And I obviously want to beat West Ham, but you still want to be recognised as someone who's done good stuff for the club. I was fortunate. I've had a great relationship with the West Ham fans, and I still have. It's just, I didn't ever kind of come out publicly to wanting to move. I weren't jostling behind the scenes to move. It was just a natural, got a big offer, they let me go. And the fans kind of saw that. And so when I look at Declan's situation, I see it being quite similar to mine. He actually done more for West Ham than I ever done. Stayed longer, won something. And then I saw the game yesterday and I see him being booed. You were there, you said it was crazy. And I'm like, really? Like, he didn't leave you in the lurch. Like, he's won a trophy. He's gone to a team that's competing for Champions League. Maybe because it's a London team, maybe an Arsenal, I don't know. But I just was really a bit surprised. And I don't think Michael Carrick or Joe Cole got booed. They went to London teams as well. Do you know what I mean? So it's a bit strange. And he's been someone who outwardly has always shown huge respect to West Ham. And I think when you was there, what happened?
I think it was pantomime, if I'm honest with you. I think it's just Arsenal, a big team. I think respect.
Leave it out. Come
I
on.
Think respect
Come
to Chelsea, on. When they moved, like when Joe Cole moved and that, they weren't Chelsea. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, no one knew how long this Roman Abramovich thing was going to like be around for. I think with Arsenal, there's a bit more there. There's obviously a bit more with Chelsea, West Ham, but I think we're just a bigger club. But what was great was when Deca scored, you saw the respect he had for his old club. Yeah. And I think some people, they do it for the sake of it. Yeah, they just go, oh, but I think he genuinely meant it. And when he got subbed off a few minutes later, everyone stood up. Everyone clapped.
So West Ham fans were clapping. So reported. So obviously there's a respect. Do you know what it is? When you show the club respect outwardly like that, then I think that deserves to get respect back. And hopefully then now going forward, it won't be that kind of booing Declan Rice for coming back because he left to go Arsenal. I think, listen, he's going to try and win the Champions League now. Trying to win the league. He's competing to win the league.
You hear that, Steve? Trying to win a Champions League, baby?
No, you won't. But he's trying to win it. he's trying to win the league. You know what I mean? So it's I don't know, man. It's a funny situation. Listen, like you say, I think it is a bit of pantomime in there. But in the end of the day, Declan Rice respects West Ham, hopefully in the long term, which I think it will happen. They respect him.
We didn't respect them, but because that scoreline was nasty.
That was a
mate.
Slapovich.
I'll tell you what, Saka, before the game, Anton was saying, oh, who's going to be the real star boy? Is it going to be Kudos or Saka? Mate, he silenced the critics with that one. Do you think it's unfair? We was having this chat as well on the take on with Youngin, with Flex,
yeah,
and Joey
it,
Knight.
I see it.
And we're saying, Saka, surely now you can call a boy world class. Because he's having a season he's
not
having,
yet,
right?
Not yet. He's. Listen, I think Saka's been unreal. I actually think he needs a bit of a rest. You know, in that team, he's so many games for a young kid. But I think it's that almost like, what is world class? He ain't done it in Champions League.
Well, he's doing as much as he can.
No, I'm talking like in the nitty gritty stages. Group stages. I've seen people hot up the group stages and never make it to knockouts.
This is his first season.
Or be seen in the knockout.
Back in the Champions League, though, properly.
But that's what I'm saying. So until you do it, it's very difficult for someone to go, oh, you know what, actually, or he's the one taking that team by the scruff of the neck all the time. And like people sit here now and go, oh, Jude Bellingham, is he world class? He's gone to Real Madrid, the Bernabeu, and said, guys, get on my back, I'm taking you. Let's go.
Yeah, he's doing an absolute madness. That's different.
That's world class. That's world class.
Gareth Bale did yet, is it? When you think of Gareth Bale at Spurs in the Champions League, that was someone that was dragging Spurs through. That was world class, and that's why he got his move to a big club. So if Saka goes on and does the sorts of thing Gareth Bale does, then maybe he could move to a big club as well and maybe be considered
world class.
It's
true. Well said, Steve. Funny, he's just, you know what? Saka's top, don't get me wrong. He's not world class yet.
Let me read out his stats.
I don't think he'd tell you his
world class. Let me read out his stats here. This season, Premier League, 23 matches, 10 goals, 7 assists. Mm. This is supposed to be a quiet season, by the way. Mm. You know, not including the Champions League.
How many
10
goals?
10 goals, bro. 10 goals. Mm. 5 matches in the Champions League, 3 goals, 4 assists. This is his first breakout season in the Champions League. These are big boy numbers, you know? And but he's supposed to
they're good numbers.
They're really good numbers.
They're not Salah numbers.
Yeah,
that's world class.
But Salah's like a goat, isn't he?
Yeah, well, no, but Salah's world class. That's what we're talking about.
Salah's
special. No, if you're talking world class, he's got to be sitting around them boys. No? That's what I asked. Am I right or wrong, Steve?
Here's a question.
At the minute, Joel, he's been outscored by Dominic Solanke, so let's relax a little bit.
Yeah, everyone's allowed a fluke season. I'm sure Kevin Phillips had 30 league goals one season. Michael Ricketts, it happens. What does that mean in the long run? Nothing.
Bruh, shout out. I don't know how Solanke's getting strays like that. I don't understand.
Nah, but I'm
not getting
like,
strays. Facts are fact, Rio. Yeah, but he's scored more than Saka.
It can happen, though. You know, all I'm saying is I think we really should start considering Saka in a world-class conversation. Guys, let us know what
you think. Not yet. I think he's got the potential to get there 100%, but not yet.
I haven't seen anyone talking about this, but I actually thought Odegaard was the reason that you he played so well.
Yeah, he was class.
Against West Ham. Mm. I thought it was his performance. He was everything.
Steve, do you reckon he's been getting a bit of stick this season for like no reason? It's a bit unjustified.
No, he hasn't put the numbers up.
Who, Odegaard?
Yeah.
Well, he had a great season last season, and people, here's the thing, Arsenal fans' expectation, like you've just shown there with Saka, is wild. Mm. So you lot expect him to go and like redouble the improvement that he made from the previous season onto this season, whereas actually the improvement might be like 0.5% or 1%. He's still going in the right direction. He's still learning how to dictate games. He's a really, really good player. I don't know if I'd call him world class either just yet, because you know he's still not actually won anything. So I think you've got to keep seeing the progression in. But I think Odegaard's a brilliant footballer.
Neither has Jude Bellingham, a recognised striker.
But Jude I think you're actually set up better to have a fluid forward line.
But Jude Bellingham, going on what you're saying, Jude Bellingham isn't world-class then because he hasn't won anything yet.
I'm not going to let you talk absolute wibble like that. I think
he's world-class, by the way, Jude Bellingham. But I'm saying, going with what you're saying, he's then not world-class then, is he?
Are you really comparing the performance level of Odegaard to Jude Bellingham?
See, it's 2-0 today, mate. I'm up.
Wow. I don't know what we're hearing right now. Don't know what's in the water.
Yeah, man. Anyway, listen, Saliba, Gabriel. Gabriel, by the way, arguably our best player this season. He's up there, isn't it? Really. I think I've been a bit of a critic of Gabriel in the last couple of seasons. And I'll be honest with you, I'm starting to...
The partnership has been... I think that's the most important thing. Forget Saliba or Gabriel as individuals. What's the partnership like? It's top.
Yeah.
Simple as. There's no... They can go 1v1. They like the physical side of it. They don't mind the race running back to their goal.
They're getting goals as well, you know.
Got a couple of goals here and there. Saliba's got the composure. Gabriel's the more the aggressor. It's a really good combination. I really like it. And strikers, again, clean sheet. Sometimes you score, the concentration level's gone. They look like they want to keep clean sheets as much as score goals now, which is good.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy with them. I asked the fans outside the London Stadium and I said, surely now you consider us favourites for the title. And it didn't go as planned. What's your problem? We're in the same team, Archie.
Even the guy behind the camera, guys, is an Arsenal, mad Arsenal fan, is actually laughing at what Joel just said there. This is a madness.
No, but think about what you just said. Surely you consider us favourites. You are third.
Third favourites.
And you're chasing two teams that have actually won a Premier League title in colour.
And they can actually win a title. They can win a title by going on like 20 game unbeaten runs. You haven't shown you can do that. You haven't gone on 10 game winning streaks. You can't do that.
Let's insert the clip of what the fans said outside the stadium here. Top four this season. Yeah. Can you please name them in order, please?
Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Spurs.
City top, Liverpool second, third. What the heck? Are Arsenal not in your top four? Why are we not winning it is the question. But we just beat Liverpool last week. We've beaten you guys. It's back on. Yeah, but it's Arsenal.
Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Yeah. Manchester City. Newcastle.
Really? Ahead of Villa?
Yeah.
Oh. Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City. Fourth, Man United maybe.
Oh, it's going to be Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool. That three and whoever next.
But unfortunately, City... Liverpool, Arsenal, United.
I gotta go with Chelsea on the top.
Where's the City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Aston Villa?
Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, I think.
Villa?
Yeah.
Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Spurs.
Top four, it will be City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Spurs.
Before we do the rest of the round downs and stuff like that, yeah? What is Jude Bellingham on?
Yeah, madness. I think he's only the fifth player this season to get 20 goals. Midfielder. He's doing Frank Lampard things.
I can't. Bro,
at the Bernabeu, though.
He plays a similar role, actually.
Yeah. It's like Zidane and Frank Lampard fused together.
That is like ridiculous. Do you know what I looked at the other day, yesterday? I looked at his comments and he done a post yesterday. I looked at the comments, right? And you've got current players that are playing with him that are saying like things like different, like the best, like just like, I don't think there's another player I see where all the other players from different teams are just commenting and just like bigging a player up. Mm. He's got everybody on side.
Yeah.
And players in his football club, I think it's almost that he's coming, no one expects him to be this, and they're all looking at each other going behind his back going, right, I didn't know he was this good. Mm. Did you know? Wow, man, like, raw, what is he? Is he real? Have you touched him yet?
And they've got some big ballers there. Man. That's true. Many
I think they're sitting there going, right, do you sit next to him? You're lucky to sit next to him, you know? And this guy's like 20, 21, whatever he is. But to do what he's doing at that on that big stage, I don't think even we understand. We were together in the hotel the other day. I think we spoke about it before when we like called Makaleli and.
Yeah.
Who else was there?
At the awards, Christian Karamba.
Christian Karamba and a couple of other
and
guys.
And these are like World Cup winners, yeah. by the way. And big boys.
They were saying like Cool McLean was going, Rio, he's in the Bernabeu. Do you know what this means to go to the Bernabeu? Not only to go there and just to play, but to go there and play unbelievably well is difficult immediately. But then to go, no, guys.
2024 Ballon d'Or. Has he got his name on it?
I think it has.
At this point, 100%.
But his point was, he says to go there and go, listen, guys, come with me. Like this, we're going. He said that personality and character, forget football, but that character is the separator that makes him absolutely stand alone when it comes to going on them stages. It's difficult.
The stat here, Rio, says Jude Bellingham is the first Real Madrid midfielder in the 21st century to score 15 plus goals in a single La Liga campaign. The other players that have scored more are Ronaldo, right? Original Ronaldo, Ruud van Nistelrooy, Cristiano Ronaldo, Gareth Bale, and then of course him.
All strikers.
Madness.
Above him. All strikers. All mad goal scorers.
Insane.
Yeah, it is. And especially they lost like Benzema, the talisman as well. I ain't heard anyone talk about Benzema.
It's true, isn't it?
No one spoke about Benzema since this Bellingham come in the door. This is a madness what he's doing. Mm. A Ballon d'Or winner walks out the door. Bellingham walks in and says, never mind, guys. Pick yourselves up. Dry your eyes. Join the ride.
I keep saying, I reckon Joselu must thank him every morning at the training ground.
No heat. He's lost his heat. There's no heat on him.
Thank you, man. There's no pressure on me.
Yeah.
I get to live my life. Thank you.
Yeah. I reckon he's got to give 25% of his wages to
take it a bit seriously.
25% of his wages just because the pressure's gone.
I want to say one thing. We all love El Phenomenon. Me and Steve have had the chance to badger him many, many times in the last few years.
We're buyers now.
Yeah, I saw a clip of him naming like he's like top 8 strikers of all time. And Cristiano Ronaldo weren't in the list. Now, listen, it's El Phenomenon,
isn't it? There's beef there somewhere, same with Thierry. Thierry's the same.
I was sitting there and I thought to myself, it's very easy to get sucked into this whole, oh, Cristiano just changed his game and he was just, you know, goals and selfish. Do we know what Cristiano Ronaldo has done in the world of football?
No, they. I don't know, but I ain't seen the R9, the way he talks about Cristiano. But Thierry,
he didn't mention him.
What was he saying? Top 5 what?
Like top 8 strikers or something like that.
Right, Ronaldo has to be, Cristiano has to be in there.
He weren't there.
It's because the name in it, because he's saying he's took my name and got bigger with my name.
Because he was Ronaldo, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then Cristiano comes along and now everyone, well, they started referring to him as the fat Ronaldo, which is disrespectful because he was... It's got to be Brazilian Ronaldo or original Ronaldo or R9.
I called him original Ronaldo. No, he should just be El Phenomenon. And then you got Cristiano.
So did you say it right though? R9 was a madness. Like he's one of the best. Like if he didn't have the injuries, I'm saying best ever.
Mm-hmm.
R9 in my eyes.
Oh, by the way, our interview with Jose, he's got some stories.
Oh my
stories.
God, what he says about R9.
Really?
Oh, well, you got to just tune in for that alone. I was sitting there, the hairs on my back and my neck were going up.
Can I ask, does he reckon he's the best
player? Assistant
to
Bobby Robson, wasn't he, in that 96-97 season at Barcelona, which no one remembers.
Probably
really.
His best season ever at Barcelona. Mourinho was there with him.
Really?
Anyway.
Do you know what as well? I've been thinking about this. Do you know, like, there's a lot more goals being scored in football nowadays. I think referees are a lot harsher. The tackle from behind is gone. So when you think, people try and look at like, oh, R9, he couldn't have been that good. He only scored 34 goals in 34 games or something like that. You got to remember, he was getting lumps kicked out of him.
GBH.
Referees allowed GBH so much game. More.
GBH, H. Oh,
no,
man.
No, but sorry, my point was, there is some beef out there. And we need to maybe go into this on another show, or we can go into it now. But like the way I see Thierry talk about Cristiano.
What did he say or not say?
I don't know. It's what more that he doesn't say. Like, he don't talk about him with any zest, any spark. But it's almost like he's downplaying Cristiano a lot. I don't know why. Like, Chris, I know Messi, he played with Messi, innit?
Thierry. I was going to say, do you think he's camp Messi the way you're camp Cristiano?
No, but have you seen the way I talk about Messi?
Yeah, you do like him.
There's ultra respect. But there's ultra like, I'm sparky and I'm like, oh my God, have you seen what he's done? If you see the clips when I'm on BT when he scored against Liverpool.
Best clips ever.
I was going nuts. Mm. But I don't know, I think and I've seen the clip. Can we get the picture or the clip up? There's a picture at the Highbury when... Thierry slaps him on the back of his head or something like that, and Cristiano pushes him off. And then Cristiano scores the winner or scores a goal in that game. Mm. And then Thierry's taking kickoff, and there's the score in the background with Bergkamp.
Wow.
Like there seems like there's a little bit of a subplot story that maybe makes it where Thierry. And Thierry's that competitive guy. I know Thierry in that way. He's a competitive guy.
He's giving Michael Richards a hard time in the gym.
And he's probably still in his mind about them moments like that. But.
Interesting, isn't it?
Interesting, yeah.
Very interesting, man. I just thought to bring it up. Finally, quick rundown. Hold on, 2 seconds.
Thierry, man, you got beef with Cristiano or not? I want to know. Can we can have a little shoot? Imagine that as a fight in Saudi. Imagine that was on the bill in Saudi.
Rio,
Thierry versus
man.
Cristiano.
Rio.
That'd be sick.
Easy, man. I'm trying to stay on Thierry's good side. Oh. Do you know what I mean?
No, I love Thierry.
Thierry
don't get mentioned enough, by the way. I think that's why he might be like he might have that bitterness in his voice.
In
sometimes.
World football,
yeah. Do you know what Thierry was doing to people in the Bernabeu?
Of course,
Ramos and them man Carlos could not chat to Thierry.
He bounced off Ronaldo. He
Puyol,
bounced off
all of them. They couldn't chat to him. He was going there and playing playground football at the Bernabeu. Telling you, he was on a great like crazy, crazy, crazy tip.
Best Premier League player ever,
Thierry.
Yeah.
Joel, sit down.
Why? Because Giggs played for many, 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 many years. Why?
He didn't say Giggs.
Why?
Yeah, go. Who else? Who then?
Do you think Giggs is the best player ever?
Who?
That one season that he had where he did like 20 goals, 20 assists. Nice, yeah. Dwight York did that. And he won a treble at the same time. Why is he not the greatest player the Premier League's ever seen? Because he's not.
Who's the best Premier League player ever seen then?
It's Cristiano Ronaldo.
I don't think it's as cut and dry as you're making
it
out.
It is. Because don't get me wrong, Cristiano had two fantastic seasons. Especially like the last two. You can maybe say 2.5 at a stretch, but at one point, Thierry was dominant. Like, I'm talking the fear that Thierry used to put in people's eyes for a long period of time, man. Like, it was unheard of, man. From like 99, I'd probably say for not his first season. I think he was getting his feet, you know, sorted. But after that, man... For like a good 5 years, Thierry was the king, man.
Do you know what? In the 4 or 5 years that Cristiano was here in the Premier League, there was two phases. There was two Cristiano Ronaldos.
Yeah.
He came as the absolute entertainer
Spaghetti and popcorn
man, where people were like, who is this kid? Oh my, every kid, but it doesn't matter what team you supported, was like, I have to see what Cristiano done on Match of the Day this week. He was that guy because he was dropping people, laying people out, etc., skill-wise. And then he turned into this absolute, like, goal-getter. 40 goals or whatever a season.
The last two.
And, by the way, which could be the nail in the coffin for anybody else, he won the Ballon d'Or as well,
yeah. Yeah, that's about... We got robbed, though. Nedved shouldn't have won the one.
Robbed or not robbed, Ballon d'Or ended up in Cristiano, the Manchester United.
You can't do that,
really. No, I'm just saying. Just saying.
And on top of that, when Cristiano first came, just saying. Rooney was the man.
Yeah, he was.
When he first came.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Rooney was always the man.
No, Bergkamp was the man.
Yeah, after like that, yeah, that first season.
So after the first season, Ronaldo was the man. So I mean, see, what are you talking about? No, I don't think he's. I'm like that. I don't. I think there's arguments for both. I just think that Cristiano was crazy. I played with him, so I'm a little bit biased. But Thierry was on a mad one.
Thierry was the king.
Yeah,
man.
Thierry
God,
was.
Man, you can't.
Given it, and everyone said it was the vote, and
unanimously, everyone says it. Only Steve says something else. So
I wouldn't,
it's all right.
I wouldn't be against it.
Yeah. Anyway, guys.
It's the certainty in your voice. Look, yeah, I've got no qualms whatsoever by saying Thierry Henry is comfortably one of the greatest players the Premier League's ever seen. Comfortably. But the way that you were so certain that he's the best one that's ever played in the Premier League.
Steve.
Well, why didn't you win more then?
Steve, you know what?
What do you think? I think no.
Steve,
I'm confident.
You've been quite, like, you've picked your punches today and they've been very stiff jabs.
He's lost. If it was a boxing fight, mate, I got him today.
No, he was Larry Holmes today. That left jab, boom.
Really quickly, Man City beating Everton 2-0.
Haaland beating Everton. That's the difference. That's what happens when you've got someone like him, the absolute gunslinger up front. They didn't even have a shot in the first half, Man City. Then they come back second half, his first shot with his right foot, bang goal. And then he slaps the left
Kevin
foot.
De Bruyne with
have
the
you seen the atmosphere at the Etihad?
I was there.
Have you seen the video? All right, how bad was the atmosphere then?
I didn't actually, because I was behind the window, so I didn't really feel it, but yeah, I don't know.
There's some videos doing the rounds of like when the team's being read out and it's absolute tumbleweed.
Listen, it is what it is, man. I don't know. Do you think they care? Do you think they really care, Steve?
No, I don't think they do.
Yeah.
But it's embarrassing, isn't it? Imagine just being on the back of 3 in a row, just won a treble, got one of the best strikers in world football. Meanwhile, absolute fucking crickets in your ground. You can't buy everything.
You know what? I think I would say though that they're getting a bigger fan base because I was there and a geezer pulled me over. He said, "Rio, come over in just before the game started." I said, "Oh, you're right." He took a picture. He said, "I don't even support City." I said, "What are you here for then?" He went, "Just come see Kevin De Bruyne."
Wow.
Like that's what's going on. Wow. Like. Over there, whether that's good or bad, but it's like they've got players that are now bringing in a different fan base.
Hey, I got a question.
Complimentary tickets, FC. That's what it is.
You're rude. I've got a question to ask though. Phil Foden gets a hat trick middle last week, and this week, and he's playing down the middle, and this week he shifted on the wing. Like, why?
Kevin De Bruyne. That's it. They've got a stacked squad. Kevin De Bruyne comes back in. I think he's got 5 or 6 goal involvements in his last 4 games or something like that. Like, what?
Yeah, fair enough.
It's Kevin De Bruyne, isn't it?
I think as good as Phil Foden is, I just don't know if Pep trusts him the way he should, man. Like, and I say this because with all respect to Phil Foden, like he's won like what 5 titles. Mm. Do you look? You see, when you look at Giggs, Scholes, Keno, yourself, you got 6 titles. I know those 6 titles. Like you did. Like, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve them, but I'm saying like. You were integral in all of them. Mm. Without you, you might not win those titles. And that's the truth. Mm. When I look at Phil Foden, I think he's sick, by the way. But I think for like 2, maybe 3 of those titles, I don't know if it's really him. Maybe even more.
Yeah, but it's different. Like some of those players you mentioned at United, if you took them out, then we may not win the league.
And I'm saying he should, I believe, obviously, look, they've got
their squad's different though. Their squad, it's only really Rodri that you take out of that squad, and probably now Haaland maybe, if you take them 2 out, they might not win things as many. They'll still win, but they won't win as dominant, I don't think. Rodri especially. But even KDB comes out. Did they really change?
They did. I mean, you can tell. Like, they're
he brings something different, but results-wise, did they really change? Like he comes off in the last 2 Champions League finals. They didn't win one, they won the other one. Mm. Like, The squad overrides individuals at Manchester City, and I think football was becoming much more like that's why we're not seeing number 10s as much anymore, them individual flair players. Look at Jack Grealish, absolute flair player, being likened to Gazza, goes to Man City, ain't that same player no more because the requirements of the system are very different. But Foden, he plays centrally where he prefers to play. He said that recently. His impact has been phenomenal. He's been the one that's been the go-to guy at City.
He's brilliant.
He's been, Pep said it the other day in an interview we spoke to him on TNT. He's the one that they've looked to in these moments when Kevin De Bruyne has not been there. This is the most valuable that he's been in their team in the whole time he's been in this Man City since he got in the first team.
Anyway, Ivan Toney back in town. Look, Brentford win 2-0, right? They beat Wolves, who have been really good this season. Shout out to Gary Neal. But is it me or does Tony still sound like he's disrespecting Brentford? Like, did you hear the comments?
What did he say?
Basically, they asked him, like, you know.
The manager said he's going to sell me or something.
Yeah. You know, he said, oh, it sounds like he doesn't want me or something like that.
But he said it in jest.
He did. But I still see it and I just think, do we want that at our club? I'm not saying we don't. But sometimes my worry is, if he does end up coming to Arsenal, right, can Mikel Arteta handle that type of character?
I don't think he would move like that. I'd be surprised. Don't forget, like, he ain't really been at no big clubs, Tony. So he's going to go there. He'd have to be respectful, like, and I think he'd have to know, like, where he is in a pecking order. Like, there's some big players in there. You think, what, he's going to go come up with that type of chat about Mikel Arteta when you've got, like, Declan Rice, Saliba, Gabriel, Odegaard, Gabriel Jesus is in, like, these were the guys who have a one-off.
I think Tony has this next level type of confidence, which is brilliant, by the way. He backs himself well. I think he thinks no one can chat to him, bruv. In general.
And he won't last long then, because I don't think that's him. But if you're saying a man can go into a club and say, no one can chat, you think a man can come into a dressing room, a strong dressing room, and that's where Arsenal's dressing room that would then be tested. Because the manager wouldn't have to say nothing. Because that player will just get opened up.
Give me an example of a time quickly where a player kind of tried to do that at your time at United.
We didn't sign any bad eggs like that. We were very lucky. The manager must have done his research and due diligence. But I'm trying to think who was a...
Obviously Rooney, he was... What was he? How would you describe him?
Yeah, but Wazza was respectful still. He understood the hierarchy in the change room, and he was never a problem in and around a training ground. Or in a dressing room. I'm talking more like playing style. Berbatov would have been one. But as a person, always a great guy, nice guy, quiet, but a good guy. But...
So no one came in with the arrogance? No one?
No. Wazza was a cheeky chappy. He weren't like that.
Yeah.
We didn't have no arrogant guys who come in with lucky. But again, they may have been arrogant elsewhere. Because I've heard people talk about Berbatov. No, RVP was like a young school kid who wanted eyes wide open, wanting to learn. Whereas some people who say about Berber at Spurs are, he's hard work to talk to, man. He's hard this, that, and the other. Some people probably say that at United, but he loosened up because you can't come in and go, I'm me, and that's it. Life don't work like that. You've got to come in and you go, because I see some people go, I'm just going to be me, I'm just going to do me. Well, you ain't going to be part of a team. Unless you're working in a single-man sport and you're a boxer on your own, that ain't happening in a team sport. You've got to come in and embrace others, embrace the team culture, environment.
That's a good point, that. Let us know what you guys think anyway. Fulham beating Bournemouth. Well done, Jack. 3-1. Great result. Moving on. Tottenham, obviously.
Big result.
Yeah, that's a big one for them, especially with you guys beating Villa. They're back in the mix now, isn't it?
Spurs, Postecoglou, man. If they keep everyone fit, they got a chance, I think.
Of what?
Champions League football. They got a chance. They're in the mix. Yeah. They need to keep everyone fit.
They're going to finish closer to you than you are to the top.
Yeah, good
shout. What do you feel? Why do you drop comments like that? what does it make you feel like? Do you feel like you've achieved something in your day? Well, that's me done now.
Yeah. Great point. Well made. Okay. And we'll look back at the end of the season and go, fucking hell, that was a stupid point. That was.
All right, we'll see. Make sure we remember the timestamps, people watching, and we'll clip it up. Obviously, Liverpool bouncing back, slapping Burnley 3-1.
Darwin.
I was
scoring again.
Yeah, but he's so up and down, man.
It'd be hard work to play against him, whatever you say.
And finally, Sheffield United beating Luton Town
3-1. That was one of the biggest results of the weekend, that one.
Yeah.
I don't think it saved them, though. Sheffield United are still going down.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
Big result. Was that at Luton as well?
Yeah, Luton's ground.
Tough place to go, man. Yeah. Big result.
Yeah, United going there next week.
Yeah. By the way, United, actually... I'm gonna go out and say United definitely win that game, because I think if they're gonna play Maguire at the back, that's the game for him. Defend your box. The ball's gonna be launched in there. A couple of big boys and bodies to fight. I think he's his game.
Two last points. Bayer Leverkusen.
The only thing I would do if I was Edwards, I'd be saying to my strikers, just peel on to both fullbacks. Peel on to the fullbacks, and you'll get chances.
I'm moving it on just because of time, by the way. Bayer Leverkusen beating Bayern Munich 3-0.
Wow.
Still unbeaten this season in all competitions.
Beat Alonso.
13 games in the Bundesliga remaining. That's 31 games
in all comps.
27 wins, 4 draws, 0 defeats, 93 goals scored, 22 goals conceded, 15 clean sheets.
Are they 5 points ahead now?
Let me double check the table for you.
Like, just imagine that Harry Kane leaves Spurs where he can't win a trophy, mm-hmm. goes to Bayern Munich where they win trophies every year and doesn't win a trophy. Could you imagine that? Oh, wow.
Rio?
Yeah.
I might faint from laughing.
Yeah. 5 points.
Steve, 5 points ahead. Mm. Wow, Steve's imagine that. Wow. If there's one league that you would have said that there's an outright favourite and they're going to win it and you put most of your money on, it would have been Bayern after signing Harry Kane this year.
If they part with Tuchel, I got my money on Jose going to Bayern, you know.
Yeah, that's a good shout. We didn't say that the other day. We were talking about which team he would go to. I was saying England or Portugal.
I think that's the team.
Bayern, yeah.
If they don't win.
Yeah, Tuchel gets a tic-tac if he don't win. But I don't know. Do they want... Jose, that'd be unbelievable. Imagine Jose goes there and wins as well. He's won in Portugal.
That's why I reckon he'll be
Italy,
king.
Spain, England, mm-hmm. and then... But Jeremy's done the full hit. He's done the... Wow.
Just needs France. Tap in.
No, you don't need... Don't we go France.
You don't really don't count, need it.
Does it? Don't really count.
In today's world, it does.
Watch when Mbappe leaves there. It will not count.
Have you seen Muller flipping out?
Muller, these teammates.
I didn't see it.
Do you not see it?
No.
I think it's Tommy Tuchel in Muller's as well, though.
He does a bit of both, the whole thing. But in Muller's, he goes really? On the mad one. Yeah. If an English player does that, it goes worldwide news.
Really?
Like, if a Man United player does that, it's worldwide news.
I missed it. Do you know why I missed it? Because I was busy watching the AFCON, mate.
Ivory Coast, man.
Your freedom.
Even though they beat us, I want to give a massive shout out to the Ivory Coast because I did not want Nigeria. There's too many Nigerians that I know. It would have been
I wanted
crazy.
Nigeria to win. I know.
You, Jose.
You know, I'm like that. I'm like a Nigerian. I've got Nigerian like a name. They give me a title.
No way. When you went to see the people there? You've been a couple times, isn't it?
Yeah, man. Me and Nigeria, like, it's like one of my second homes, man.
You've even sat down and had dinner with Davido. You've done a little bit over there, innit?
Nigerians know, bruv. You know what I mean?
Burna Boy?
No, I've not seen Burna Boy yet. I was meant to do.
Why did they play like that in the final, though?
Yeah, they were poor, man. The report that was Jose's brethren, wasn't it?
Why
did they go with a straight back five and like just one ball forward? Like they're better than that. Mm. And then as soon as they conceded, they actually started playing football again. Yeah. And you're like, where's this been for the last hour?
Ivory Coast were nice though.
Yeah,
they were nice. They grew in the tournament. Yeah. I see them early doors. I didn't have them down to win it at all.
It means that it was a good decision to set the manager in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine being that guy.
Oh, he must be sick. I reckon he threw up in his mouth all the way through that second half.
But
you see Drogba going absolutely
wild. Yeah. That's what you want to see though, man. It means something. It's true. Listen, bruv, if England win anything, watch me. Watch me. I will be going on a match supercharge.
Everyone, just a public service announcement. You're not going to have to watch it.
A massive shout out to Sebastian Haller as well because with everything he's been through in life, it was fitting, man. But guys, I want to say thank you very much for watching this week's episode of Vibe with Five. Yes, there's a couple bits that have been released or will be released, but please stay on board with us. We're trying a ting and we're just trying to bring you more content, man.
Thursday, just be ready for Thursday, man. Just make sure you're notified. Well, Wednesday the take-on's out, but Thursday the Jose Mourinho interview starts dropping.
Takes over the world, right? There will be the full version as well, so don't worry.
Where can I get the full version?
Well, after we've dropped the cut-up versions, there's only three this time, cut-up versions, they're going to get the full one afterwards.
And then they can go on Acast.
Yes, and they can go on Acast to listen to the audio as well, the full version. They can listen to that as soon as it comes out, innit?
That's there straight away.
See, there you go there, you know? Rio, also, you did a vlog, right, with Steve on the way there.
Funny, yeah, it's quite funny.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was good. Steve was filming. Did I fall asleep at any point? I always fall asleep on these trips.
Yeah, but unlike Jake, I don't film you asleep because I think that's really, really weird.
Respect. I like that.
All right, guys. We'll see you soon. Peace.